Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. It's really good to have you here today because we're talking about children today, one of the most important assets that we have in our world, if not the most important asset. And I say asset, I mean these beautiful, innocent children that come into the world. Every child of mine, right? I have three children. I've got 12 grandchildren. And they're all precious. And I have a wonderful relationship with all of them. And, you know, when they come into the world, they're born radiant. They're born open. They're born pure. And the environments we place them in, whether it's a digital environment, social environment, physical environment, emotional environments, you know, where we place them in will determine how their consciousness is formed. And really, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk a little bit about how to curate a peaceful, nurturing, loving environment. And we're also going to be talking about what happens when that's not in place. And there's a lot of children out there that have been abused. They've been trafficked. They've been, on the dark side. They've been tortured. They've been killed. They've been murdered. There's a lot going on out there. I know you want to hear that. But listen, if we don't talk about what's going on, then we can't change our future. Truth is the cornerstone of wisdom. And wisdom helps us to release the old ways of thinking that, maybe generational thinking or program thinking or thinking, righteous thinking. This is the way it is. This is what I'm going to do to with my children, and really come together in the understanding that we're all connected here. And, you know, as I change myself, as I grow, which I have, you know, my children change, they grow, right? So we're all leaders here and we can all make a difference here. If we teach through truth instead of fear, if we teach through love and kindness instead of anger and upset, children have a different experience and they are able to maintain that innocence, maintain that connection to the divine states of consciousness that they have. They come in here. They're very close to the divine, by the way. Okay? They're very close for many years. When my little grandson was, Josiah was three at the time, and I walked outside with him, and their family lives up on a hill in San Diego, and it overlooks, it's a 360-degree view there. It's beautiful. But he grabs my hand, and he says, Grandpa, look up in the sky. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, you know, he's three. I bet you he's seeing things that I can't see. So I asked him, I said, what are you seeing? He says, look, the angels. And I said, oh, you're seeing the angels. I said, oh, that's beautiful. And then I went in and I talked, you know, and I was with him and I acknowledged that he's seeing the angels. I didn't go, oh, no, that, no, you don't see that. I acknowledged that, right? Because he's seeing. And I walked in and I told his mom, my daughter, and she says, oh, just yesterday we were at the beach and he looked at the sunset and he says, mommy, God's in the sun. Look. So, you know, it's like these little children are innocent. You know, who's a child that sees God in the sun and angels in the sky, right? Little children do have that ability, but when they lose their innocence through environment, through anger, through meanness, through trauma, drama, then all of a sudden, that innocence is gone and it's very difficult to replace. So that's what we're talking about today. So I hope you'll stay tuned with me because I have an expert in this area. And we're going to talk about his mission, his project, how you can get involved so that you can keep your children safe, what you may or may not know about what's going on the internet, how people are being groomed, how your children might be groomed and you don't even know it. So this is an important conversation we're going to have. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my very special guest. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. And my very special guest is Nate Lewis, Nate Lewis. Nate, it's so good to have you, man. We talked before the show, and man, you know, we got a lot in common, and I'm so happy to support you and what you're doing with your project.
Oh, well, hey, thank you for having me on, man. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Well, for those of you that don't know Nate, Nate Lewis is the founder of The Innocent, and you can see him at theinnocent.org. The Innocent is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and preserving the innocence of children inside the United States, with a focus on child sex trafficking, exploitation, and sexual assault. With a robust background as an executive at a leading global anti-trafficking organization, Nate has honed his expertise in both international and domestic anti-trafficking operations, working with law enforcement agencies worldwide. That's such a key piece, the law enforcement agencies. There's a lot of agencies out there that are doing things, but they don't involve law enforcement. So kudos to you.
Yeah, well, all my team, other than myself and my assistant, who's a survivor of child trafficking, are active duty law enforcement. We have one retired law enforcement, and that's a key important component, because we work directly with law enforcement. That's how we scale this thing. We come into a community and we basically, one department hosts it. We get the top investigators from the surrounding agencies, and about 15, upwards of 25 people build basically a small task force. And we come in and we have two different types of trainings. We can get into some of this stuff, but yeah, being law enforcement is a critical component of this. It's a brotherhood, law enforcement. And we come in there and we know, with all this experience, the laws and what they're facing, even through the judicial system stuff. So it is important.
That's very important. You know, my as I mentioned in the green room, my dad was LAPD for 44 years and served concurrently in the Criminal Investigation Division of the U.S. Army. And, you know, I dodged a bullet as a child. I went to a Catholic school and I always wanted to be an altar boy. Well, they didn't pick me, right? I could never figure out, why didn't you pick me? And years later, I found out that the priest that had not chosen me was molesting children. And he didn't pick me, I know now, because my father was LAPD, and they don't pick on kids that have strong father figures right in there. So dodged a bullet. Well, listen, The Innocent Project, theinnocent.org. What made you launch that? Why did you get in? Why did you do this?
Yeah, well, I can give you a really easy answer, or I can give you the real answer.
And give me the real answer. I want the real, only the real answer, Nate.
So, you know, when I was a child, unfortunately, my first experience, sexual experience, was with somebody I didn't know. My parents never had a conversation about the birds and the bees. They weren't able to watch people kiss on TV, and it really was, my first introduction was like dropped on another planet. Being sexually abused. And so thinking, you know, I don't ever want to tell anyone. I don't want to talk about it. I buried it for decades. And then not long after that, I was actually kidnapped, taken at gunpoint, potentially a gang initiation. And I went through the whole judicial system on that, faced two of the three people and a Supreme Court in Los Angeles. A long story short, you talk about heal it. It took a long time for me to heal from that. And I still think I am healing from that. And I'm still triggered by certain things just because of the work. So I didn't know that those events were going to lead me to where I am today. When you ask how I got into that, I think God had a plan for my life. And even though I didn't know at the time, looking back now, like, my fire is very big to protect the innocence of children, because I felt like at one point mine was taken from me, right?
Well, like I said in the intro, you know, it once it's taken, once that innocence is lost, it's very difficult to find it again. And being open and frank, you know, it's taken a while to find that little inner child that's still there. You went through this experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, the reason I started The Innocent was because a lot of the people, it was really for the people. And they kept asking me, like, hey, I worked for a different organization. We're focused internationally. Like, what can we do here? I want to donate money, but I want to stay in my state. And it was constant. And I was really at an event and I was sitting next to now my current COO, who's a detective sergeant in the office. And on the other side of him, Bree, who's my assistant now, who amazing story about her life. You can see it on our YouTube channel. But we were sitting there and somebody in the crowd said, what can we do in our city, in our town? We want to protect our children. And I never even had an answer. It came out of nowhere. I just said, look, turned to Brian. I said, you're the detective sergeant and sheriff's office here. Give me a line item budget. What do you need? Equipment, training, that kind of thing. I looked at the lady who threw the event. I was like, we're going to start a fundraiser. I looked at the crowd and said, you're going to fund it. And I was like, what? And it was this roar, like, oh, wow, that's it. We're going to let the people fund their local police in a very specific crime, child sex crimes. And we're going to be proactive, not reactive to like, oh, it's too late, where they actually need healing. We want to prevent it so that there is no healing that's needed. And it was kind of like, wow, I think that's what we need to do. And then I looked into it. I started the process, and actually it was a different name at first. And instantly this vision just kind of came to me. I was actually sitting in church, and it was the innocent, because that's who we work for, right? The innocent, the children. And I saw the T and the I kind of come together, and that's where we got the logo. And it was, looks like a child, you know? And it was just from there, people, the amount of people saying, how do I get this in my community? And then we started doing it and bringing it. And then it just grew from there. From, you know, we used to just be one training. We run full scale undercover operations. So what we run them through is start to finish, even working with the prosecution. So they have to buy in and have to follow us. And they approve chats. And there's a whole thing. We give roles and responsibilities to everybody. Like I said, from all the, we're bringing departments together, maybe a sheriff's office in the surrounding city, police departments. And then we put them through a pretty intense training. It's live, it's real operations, and usually leads to arrests during the training. So they know how to do it. When we leave, they can continue these operations. And now we also come in prior to that, several weeks to a month before, and we have another officer who focuses on really setting up undercover personas, how to avoid entrapment, because you're talking, preserving evidence, which is part of the technology we provide, is part of the really strategic, efficient ways of storing evidence. It's so different this day and age. Everything is digital. It's done usually on a mobile phone. So running through tablets and certain things that run these apps that you're communicating on, and how do you store that efficiently and effectively and keep it organized? As a lot of these kind of expensive, you know, software that they need to run, it takes six years to a month to get approved, and we could get them to them in a day or two.
Wow. We're getting kind of into the details right now. And before we do that, even more, I want to step back a little bit. One thing you said real quick is that your monies are funding police organizations, or part, you know, funding the police so that they can actually learn this, right?
Right.
Okay. So basically the monies come in, you go out to the department and say, hey, we've got a training program. We can take you this, we'll take your officers through. It'll be a live experience for them, so they know exactly how to handle all this. And so we can clean up the community in a big way. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's exactly what you're hearing. Exactly. And actually, we don't go out to law enforcement. We have a list that have reached out to us on a waiting list. So wow, they found us.
You got waiting lists. So your organization is growing, and what we need to do is be able to drive more funds into the organization so that we can expand the what you're doing. But you know, I won't get into success rates yet because I want to back up a little bit. I do have to take a break, Nate. When I come back, I want to really understand the scope of the child exploitation in the United States and where we're really overlooking some of the aspects of child trafficking, how the impact on social media is happening. And by the way, you know, if you're listening to my show, this isn't just happening to the poor. It's happening across all lines, everybody. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. This is a big problem in the United States. So we're going to come right back and we'll take a deeper dive into what I just suggested.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Nate Lewis, in just a minute. But I want to encourage you, if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and click that subscribe button so that you won't miss any shows. And for those of you that are listening to this show and not on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, so that you don't miss any of our shows. That would be a Nate Lewis is here. All right, Nate. All right, I want to talk about the scope of child exploitation in the United States. Give me some facts.
Well, 1 in 5 children will be solicited for sex before they turn 18 years old. So that's a pretty staggering number. A couple other staggering numbers, and I think that this is helpful for people to understand that this isn't just like something that happened over the last couple of years. But right now in the United States, there's 46 million survivors of child sexual abuse. And if you look at really what's happening is the oldest profession is considered like prostitution, right? And people made movies about it, Pretty Women, certain things, right? Pimp, prostitute. People accepted that. But what people are struggling to accept is trafficker and trafficked. It's very similar. They're forced against their will to, you know, be forced into situations, force, fraud, or coercion. And right now, the digital world that your child lives in, even though they may not fall into like a sex ring or a trafficking ring or organization, just being online, mostly social media, which is where we live undercover on these platforms, man, it's very highly likely, and probably some of the listeners, even adults, have probably been contacted by a stranger online. And with children, I know, I love how you introduced this show. Our whole focus is children and their innocence. Like you read our mission, to protect and preserve the innocence of children. So when you look at the innocence of a child, it can either be peeled away slowly through grooming, which you had mentioned, or it can just be smashed almost instantly. I'll give you an example. We go undercover online in all different forms, parents, traffickers, children, whatever it may look like. But we were posing as an 11-year-old child, just getting on social media, creating an account, you know, like I got a new phone, whatever. And not only are they like promoting older men and introducing 50-year-old men to 11-year-olds, sometimes these messages that are coming in, there might be slow grooming, like, hey, you're beautiful. You know, like you want to be a model, $300 an hour, this and that. But some of them are, right then, here's a photo, rate my fill in the blank, from a grown man. And an 11-year-old seeing that for the first time, probably in their life at 11, their innocence is somewhat taken from them, right? And so how do we avoid these type of things? And then it can go into all types of exploitation where you're there.
So there's a lot of parents that aren't aware of this, that their kids can be on social media and that can happen almost instantly. They're 11-year-old, they're 12-year-old, they're 15-year-old, right? So how do we prevent that piece on the social media piece, Nate?
Well, there's some key small elements, you know, shut your accounts down to private, which I know kids don't like because their popularity is tied to the number underneath their name of followers and friends and certain things. But having that conversation, the best way to really, the long-term best way to do this is have a real relationship with your child and a trustful relationship. And I know they're like, well, how do you do that? And that takes some time and trust building and certain things. A lot of parents want to jump to grounding them from their phone when they find certain things. But I think that's an opportunity to have a real conversation and explore what that might look like so they can come to you in the future, right? That's a key thing. Turning off disappearing messages. Right now, a lot of kids are engaging in disappearing messages on most platforms where they can have a conversation and then it just disappears. So now a parent can't actually see what their child's doing online, how they're communicating, what they're sending. I think having a conversation around, you know, what's being sent and received, and just being open with your children, like, hey, this is what could happen. I'll start with the boys. First, I think it's very important for adults and parents to have conversation with young men that it's not okay to ask for those photos and it's not okay to send them. Eventually, they're going to be an adult, and if they're thinking that it's okay to ask for them, they're going to continue that behavior and they're going to become one of these predators. Maybe, potentially. So how do we have that conversation with our sons? Don't ask for these photos. Don't send them to them. And that same conversation with our daughters. So let me also describe how it could look, because these are conversations you can have, because kids are, and I've had this experience with my own family, is they're going to say, oh, that's not really happening. That's not really true. But there's a lot of facts and evidence out there online, and you can look some of these cases up. But usually what happens, and we see this a lot with boys, is there's open accounts out there. I can go under your account. I can hold my finger on a photo. I can start downloading photos. Usually moms with, you know, proud of their 10-year-old's birthday party, swimsuits, by the pool, whatever. And they're just, you know, now they can start building an account, and now they can actually build a young girl account, and they can start becoming friends with the young boy and all their friends and their siblings, parents, whatever it may be. And they start having conversations, and the boy's flattered by the cute girl. The cute girl sending pictures, whatever it may be, maybe entices him to start sending some photos. And maybe they've got photos from another account, or they have photos because they collect young girl images of child sexual abuse material. And they start sending them and trading. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, by the way, I'm not actually this girl. I'm friends with all your friends. I'm going to send them all these photos that you've sent me of you privates, unless you send $10,000 within the next 24 hours. While the boys, this is true. These are cases you can look up. Some at that point commit suicide because they don't know what to do, right? Like, they don't go to their parents. They don't know how to talk. So how do we avoid that from happening? Well, don't send photos. That's where the conversation has to happen, right? Don't believe these people. You know, this is one of the things two things I think that are important as parents. We used to say, don't take candy from a stranger. What I like to call it is, don't take comments from a stranger. Strangers are going to comment inside of your direct messages on your posts and all that stuff, and they're going to connect you. Now, you may think that they're actually a 14-year-old boy and be flattered that you're getting attention from them, but don't trust that. Don't trust that. Don't trust a stranger that you don't know who it is. It's very hard. These guys are hiding their identity online, their IP address, everything. It's one of the most difficult things law enforcement has to do, is identify them. So they're trying to hide that. It's not like going to a park with facial recognition and license plate readers, right? Then there's also this thing, I think parents, this is an easy way for you to understand. When your child turns 16, you don't just hand them a set of keys and be like, hey, good luck driving. No, they go through a long period of practicing driving. They learn the laws, the rules, what to look for. You actually sit with them while they drive. Then they take a test with the stranger. They have to pass it through the state, right? There's a lot of requirements. And then you still have the airbags and all that stuff. And then you go, here's the keys, and you worry and pray that they're going to be safe out on the road. I think that the internet is just as dangerous. You know, like, if you don't have a way for them to go through some sort of training or understanding, which we have coming very soon on our website, you'll be able to purchase that, schools, parents, and all that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, because that's something that I'm not familiar with. Maybe it's out there already, but I've never heard that an actual training certified course to be able to navigate safely on the internet. I think that's powerful, Nate, and I support you building that. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we're only a week or two, maybe, away. And we're partnering with an organization, and we've already put it, one of my board members is a school resource officer. We put it through some schools, and several children came forward that they were being sexually abused because of it. Then that sheriff's department actually bought it for two of their schools, because it's for parents, teachers. Well, it's age appropriate. So depending on what age the child is to take this education, it's really designed for the child, 3 or 4 years in the making, because they're not like, oh, I'll just read a book and learn. They want to be interactive. They want to do it together. They want to scan QR codes. They want to do it on their phone, that type of thing. So it's age appropriate, but it's also for parents. And it's also for people who want to go and speak about this, be educated about, like, hey, this is what you need to look for in your community. I hope that people become one of these, you know, defenders of their community, is what we're going to call it. When you take a 12-hour course, then there's already a 45-minute to an hour presentation that you can go out into your community and present some of this education. And so that's a really important thing for parents to understand, how to navigate that digital world and to teach their kids, and what do kids look for. And then getting this into school resource officers' hands. That's our next movement, because they're the front line with the kids, building that relationship. When the kid reports certain things, they're going to the school resource officer a lot of the time first. And then they need to know where to take it from there, you know, because you could do account takeovers and certain things, but There's so much on a 45-minute podcast. It's hard to cover.
No, I get it, but you know, this is an educational podcast for my audience, because I want them to know what's available out there, and I also want them to connect to you. I want them to go to the Innocent theinnocent.org, theinnocent.org, I-N-N-O-C-E-N-T, for those of you that are listening here, theinnocent.org, and you can donate there, you can get involved there. Do you have an advocacy group there that where people can start to work with the organization, Nate?
Yeah, and so on our community link, you can look through there and fill out a form there as well. There's a couple other ways. Being a protector is one thing. Somebody who donates every single month, that's hugely supportive. Right now, we're doing a campaign where you get a free blue shirt. Most of our stuff's not blue, but January is Human Trafficking Prevention Month. January 11th is Human Trafficking Awareness Day, where we, you know, everybody wears blue on that day. But we'll give you a free T-shirt if you sign up for more than $25 or more. Look. The other one is the defender, and that's the one that inside your community. We want somebody who's going to take charge and be a leader in their community that's going to spearhead these efforts. Go through the training that's going to be available very soon. If you sign up for our email, you're going to get all these notifications. On our social media, they're stopping us from really spreading education and awareness. But through our emails, we're giving you PDF files. We're giving you all those tips for parents on what does grooming look like? All kinds of things. How do they entice your children? All that stuff. It's all there. And if you sign up for our email, you're going to get a lot of that information. And we'll tell you how to become this spearhead. We call it a defender. We want you to become a defender in your community for children. Defend your children.
Well, you know, I think if you're a mom, a dad, a grandparent, you know, you can all get involved. I know I'm going to be involved, Nate. You've convinced me. I'm just going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to donate here. I like what you're doing. I think you're on the cutting edge of what we need for solutions to be able to educate our children with proper tools and understanding, you know, that meet them on their level to be able to stop this in its tracks. And I like your analogy, don't give candy to a baby. Well, don't give an internet, a social media site to a child until they're educated. I think that's the key. All right, listen, I got to take a break. When I come back, you know what? If my child has been exposed to these traffickers or these, you know, even children that are, you know, that are out there, you know, sharing inappropriate stuff with other children. If my child's been exposed to that, you know, you're a survivor. What happens? What can we do there? So we'll talk about that when we get back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster. I'm talking with Nate Lewis from theinnocent.org. Innocent.org. I want you to think about that. Theinnocent.org, because I really am encouraging my audience to go there and support this cause. It's a cause that, you know, so many times we feel hopeless. We got to get somebody on the show and they give you great information, but they don't have a way for you to get involved. Nate has a way for you to get involved now so you don't feel hopeless. Nate, listen, one of the most difficult things I think a parent can do is discuss, you know, have a discussion with their children or child once they've been, they've lost their innocence. Okay. And, you know, there's a lot of ways we can lose innocence as we're talking right now, but you know, because the parent feels guilt or they might feel shame. They might be angry, you know, to have these emotions, you kind of almost get in the way of having this conversation. So how do you support that when a child's been trafficked or just lost their innocence, really?
Yeah. Wow, such an important question. Thank you for bringing this up, because I know many parents that I've interacted with that this is probably one of the most difficult things that they've had to face. And that's why the conversation beforehand is so important to prevent these type of things, because I'm telling you, the parents are in a hard spot. As hard as the child is, the parent also is in a very difficult position. There's a lot of things, but I have to start here. You have to stop coming at your child as you normally would, and you have to come with them and meet them where they are and almost put yourself into their shoes. Let me just tell you what happens. The child is extremely afraid of a lot of things and has already started to make up things of what's going to happen that may not be the truth or may be the truth. So they're fearful. And they're just like any, this is for law enforcement, this is for parents when a child comes forward. It's a child that you're dealing with. And so they're going to provide a little bit of information. And depending on how you react, you're either going to cut off the source of information or you're going to have an open, safe space for them to continue to provide information. This is part of what we're training law enforcement as well. So when they come to you, anger, shame, all your personal stuff, that your baggage you're going to bring, you have to let go of. You have to meet them where they are. If they tell you that they're afraid, they're embarrassed, all that stuff, just have some sympathy and empathy and try to see what it's like as a child to be in those shoes, how fearful they are, how embarrassed they are, how hurt they are. And that is so important. Now, as a parent, the kids are going to say stuff like, I don't want to go to the police. You know, I've had this. Let me give you some specific real life stories, okay, from a child. It's so sad, but this is the reality. I was there too. Okay, so I understand it. I don't want to go to the police. The parents like, well, we have to go to the police. You know, like we want to talk about that. Now we'll deal with the police side on a different level, but they'll say things like, well, what does that mean? Do I have to go to court? Am I have to face them again? Probably. You don't need to answer it, but they probably will. Okay, there's a lot of fear. Are they going to take their kids away from them? Potentially. Now, this is key, parents. It's not their fault. The child. It's not your fault. I said it through my things, and these children always say it. It's their fault that this person is going to spend the rest of their life in prison or 15 years in prison or whatever the thing may be. It's their fault. It's real to them. Now, we as parents know it's not their fault, but they believe it's their fault sometimes, most of the time, a lot of the time, that they're going to remove the kids from the house that single parent has. Right. Or they're going to separate that family. They're going to take the father away from the children. That's my fault if I come forward. It's not their fault. And what is their fault is that they chose. And I had to be told this by detectives, too. They made these decisions, not me. And justice has to be served. And I think that understanding this is why we do what we do, prevention. When the child understands that we don't want this to happen to another child, to go through what you went through. And if we don't go forward with your story, with your case, and we don't convict this criminal for the crimes that they created and did, they're going to be free to go continue to abuse other children, be a part of the justice that's going to put this criminal who deserves to be behind bars. So there's a lot to unpack there, but essentially, it goes back to listening, number one. When you start questioning, even law enforcement, when humans get questioned, they start to question, like, oh, it's not true. This can't be real. You can't just question. There'll be a time for questioning, right?
Yeah.
And then if you get a safe place to comfort them, tell them yourself, so sorry that you had to go through this. Don't say a lot. Just be there for them. Let them talk on their own level. Sometimes if you have law enforcement, it'll be the second day and they'll be like, when are you going to ask me? Great, law enforcement. The girl will say, when are you going to ask me what happened? And that's a perfect spot to be for to say, well, when you're ready. See, the first question we tell officers is they should ask, like, what's your favorite food? And then we tell them, and then the officer goes and buys their favorite food for them. You know, they can't continually be questioned over and over until they're ready. Start. And last thing I'll say is if they give you a piece of information and they're waiting for your reaction, if you react bad specifically and you blow up this and that crazy, fearful place makes them not want to give any more information. They're going to withhold. So create that safe space.
Yeah, you gotta create that safe space. This is key information. I really appreciate you being here, Nate. This is really good. You know, it's a big problem in our country. 1 in 5, as you mentioned, by the time they're 18, will be sexually molested.
Or solicited for sex.
At least solicited. Yeah, solicited for sex. So that's a huge number. That's a very big number.
Yeah, 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 4 boys will be sexually abused before they're 18. That's the statistic.
1 in 3 girls. 1 in 4. Wow.
So a lot of these stats are on our social media, the innocent.usa. You can see all that. We're posting those on our website as well.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, what legislative or system changes do you see that is necessary right now to protect our children and hold these perpetrators accountable?
I could go down a long list, but the most important one right now that we're pushing, and we're actually working with legislature right now, and we're pushing on many avenues. I think there are other organizations as well. I look at it as like the drug task forces that are created. You know, this war on drugs. I call it the war for innocence. We need to prioritize our children's innocence just as much as keeping them safe from drugs. You know, we've been fighting a several decade war on drugs with billions of maybe trillions of dollars. Where do we have the task forces? We have the model. We know we currently do go in and build an unofficial task force in communities. And we need people to constantly be doing these investigations proactively. That's what we do. We're proactively doing these conversations, but we need them to be full-time. And we need to have several in each state, in each region of the state, so that they are working 40, 50, 60-hour weeks only doing these crimes like the drug task forces. And we need that. And we need the funding. And right now, the reason why we exist is because previously there was no government funding. They're actually still cutting some of the funding for the ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, some of their stuff. They're still putting out some stuff. And I'm not trying to trash government and whatever, but I'm just saying we don't have the law enforcement. When they saw what we do, they're like, where else are we going to get training? Wait, it's free? Oh my gosh, you come to us? We don't have to pay for anything? We can go home at night? This is too good to be true. Well, it's too good and it's true. But it takes the people. It takes the people. Don't worry about the government taking your tax money and still not funding it. Just go fund very specifically these task forces being built in your communities. But we need that from the government. It has to happen. I don't know why we're waiting. What are we waiting for?
Well, we're not waiting today, because they can go right now to theinnocent.org and get involved. And that's the first step. First step, go get involved, innocent.org, theinnocent.org. Don't forget the. And we can get involved. So, when I was going to ask you how everyday citizens and educators and parents can recognize the warning signs. We only got about a minute and a half here. How can they recognize the warning signs that their children might be, they're vulnerable and something's going on? What are the warning signs, Nate?
They're spending a lot of time on their phone in isolation. They're hiding conversations from you. They're maybe deleting messages. You'll see them focused on a different attention. They're getting attention somewhere else. So they're spending their time somewhere else. And parents, have these conversations. I know we got all the short amount of time. If you're going to keep a phone and social media from your kids, they're going to get it from their friends. So it's more important to have the conversation about it and give them parameters. Look at the app Bark. You can put it on your phone. You can monitor your child's activity on their phone. Get all the location services turned off. Shut down open profiles on social media. And turn off disappearing messages on their phone, because that's going to help protect them from some of these things that, you know, you're not going to know about. And so isolation, lots of time on their phone. That's probably some of the key things.
I love it. Okay. Well, you know, I'm out of time here, Nate, but, you know, thank you so much for coming here and educating us. And I wish you all the success in the world to get this organization in all 50 states and then eventually around the world, because this is something that's, although it's a big, big issue here, it is a big issue everywhere. So thank you.
Well, I do want to say on that note, we're 100% focused in the United States, so we don't have any plans going outside. We're going to keep every dollar inside our border.
Okay. All right. And MAGA. Make America great, is it? Okay. I think more in line with Make America Healthy Again. Make America Healthy Again. I think that's really what we're talking about here. And by the way, this is, I said MAGA. This is not a political show. So just throwing that out there. All right, Nate, thank you so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
All righty. Well, thank all of you for being here today. And until next time, remember that if you can reveal it, you can heal it. And I encourage you to look under the rocks, look in your own life. You know, if there's something not working, hey, why not get on the quest and heal it? I hope you do. Till next time, take care.